You're on.
I don't need the lights on, if that's the issue. Oh, video does, okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming, especially my friends Leon Stiffarm of the White Clay People Medicine Man in Utah from Australia, and Guru Seva Mason and Paula. Thank you very much. And Raya, my study committee is mostly here. Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm sorry. Hello, Susan. Thank you very much for coming. Okay, I'm totally nervous and sort of shaking all over. And my notes are, you know, I've got like three different versions. So I'm kind of hoping it flows. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Yeah, this dress is because I'm a storyteller today. There's going to be an animation story. Plus, those of you that know me well know I love dressing up. So, you know, if I'm going to tell a story, it's an excuse to dress up. Okay. So I need first normal lights because I'm going to do the board first. Maybe I'll just flip them on. I don't know. Does anyone know how to get normal light there? That's normal. Okay. All right, then. Well, maybe we need to turn that off. Is there a way just to cover that a little bit? Or? That's great. That's great. Thank you. So I was just going to start a bit chronologically. Because my thesis was a creative experiential project, this whole presentation is a little bit creative experiential, pulling some threads together. But those of you who are here at the last residency, I talked about how the thesis would be my individual myth, and mostly, primarily, the myth of the Process Work Institute. But for kind of a comparison, a contrast, I also looked at the myth of Relationships Australia. This was, I'm sort of jumping around a bit, so I hope you guys can tolerate it. My project is not about, I'm going to spend a few minutes telling you what my project is not about. Okay. I'm only going to mention a few things. My project is not about areas of my life where I'm already flourishing. It's not exploring places where my relationship life feels really successful and nice and cozy. And so to help with balance, I just wanted to, on the weekend, I realized that some members of my cohort only see me here and have like a very thin slice of knowing who I am. So this belongs to the project, but it's in the background. Is I've been involved in the last 3 years during the time that I've been doing this project in a lot of teaching work and like group processes and classes. The reason I need to say this is because I myself had a big edge with doing a project like this, which is very subjective, and it's about a personal difficulty that I had in relationship with Process Work Institute. And initially, I remember talking with my study committee and coming up with a much more objective study about comparing process-oriented therapy with family systems therapy, which is the organization I work with. I began that. I did write something. It is Appendix 1 in my thesis. But what was burning in me, the thing that I really had a big need to understand more, was to understand a difficulty. So this picture is a collage thing I made about a person. That happens to be me. I felt in a very big chasm, a dark chasm, in the specific relationship between myself and things that had happened with Process Work Institute. So that's me kind of climbing up the chasm, which is what my project was about. It was a very internal, experiential thing of how to approach it by climbing up the chasm and eventually, you know, tumbling up and getting up there, which has to quite a considerable extent happened, so that's good. So I was drawn to study this spot that was not resolved. That's what interested me, that's what fascinated me, is something that was not resolved, did not make sense, it was not satisfactory to me. I picked the most painful relationship spot that I had experienced. I needed more information, I needed details, I needed some clarity, which I hadn't yet been given. I've always loved myths and fairy tales. As a kid, I used to read like reams of books, and I would read fairy tales or biographies I love reading about people, imaginary or real. So it was a natural way to approach this dilemma, was to look at the what was in my myth and to understand more deeply what was in my myth, and to understand what was in the myth of Process Work Institute and where did they meet, clash, whatever. So this poster, where myths meet, collide and dance. That's what I was looking to study, is where we'd had a bit of a collision. And I believed, and believe now too, that if I could understand my own personal interactions where they were difficult, that would have a huge impact on my work with the organizations that I'm working with. And I feel that's true. So there was a couple of complexities about my project. Politically, it felt to me to be extremely complex that I had very strong criticisms of the same organization that would be marking my paper. So writing about that in my project, it seemed like a very tricky thing to do. Also in process work, we all know there's a big emphasis on taking the other side. And one of the most significant things that was really valuable to me in writing my project was really deeply taking my own side. But that was complex because of certain assumptions of the MACFA program. But that was one of the things that was most inspiring and exciting to me, was understanding my own side, getting enough into it that I kind of woke up to my own experience, trusting my own experience. And that was hard, to trust my own experience, because internally I would have been easier to have done more of a subject, looking at it as a subject, more of an external thing. But my need and my inner experience was demanding to go deeper and deeper into this more internal thing. Also, strong emotion. I had a lot of strong emotions in this whole relationship thing. In most cultures, I think really strong, painful, difficult emotions are quite secondary. Most of us would rather, have nice, joyful sort of things. So that was complex, to stick for years with something that was very difficult and extremely painful. I've been doing Amy's class on Wednesdays, both last week and this morning. There's something that comes out of that work. Amy's class is about how to be a therapist based on your own deep internal self. And both times, like when I was a kid, I loved to go down in a hole in the ground in the grass and get cozy down this big hole and read a book, but kind of partially protecting myself from the rest of the world and then going deep into an internal space. Or today, we picked our favorite room, and mine is a room where I meditate and the kids don't come. It's a little yurt where I also see clients. And it's like partly, for me, this connects to the need to go into my own space, to really spend some time exploring what is my own side. Okay, the how and the what. Anne quoted Stein yesterday about the importance of art to bring up crucial organizational information. Well, I somehow knew and felt this about my own exploration, that I didn't quite know what I was looking for, but I had a very strong hunger for it. I was like following my need, following my hunger. And I sensed or knew it had to be creative. So I did a bunch of things. This is about an animation that you'll get later. Oh, I want to mention my partner, Denise Dean, and my sons, Aaron and Liam, were just amazing the week before. I know I'm jumping around. I hope you guys can tolerate that. I think I'll be jumping around a little bit. The week before I came away, I was freaking out about this presentation. I was just saying, I can't do it, because this presentation has been the thing I've been most nervous about. The thesis is okay. That's in my own personal world. That's like in my study. It's following my own thread. But to like stand up here in front of all of you and justify my presentation, I was not up to it. So my partner, who's a graphic artist, she's really sweet. She said, well, I'll help you. So we started making a movie. It was to have been three different movies. We were going to make a movie of my individual myth. And see, she made this little baby. Isn't that so cool? Oh, it's just such a pleasure to watch Denise and my two sons getting off on this movie. I just sort of stood back, and Aaron and Liam love the computer, so Denise made these things. See this? Oh, it's broken. These have all traveled across the ocean, so anyway, you will see it, but they're just so, so cool. So what I'm really saying is a big thank you to Denise, Aaron, and Liam. And my stepkids, this one. They took a lot of people to do these movies because someone has to move the little bit, someone's got to film it, and someone's going to do other stuff. So I'll just give you a quick tour of the movie, I think. I have a baby. They're all a little bit... crash, bang, boom. Okay. This is the tired mother, the harassed mother with too much to do. What she does is this kind of thing. Oh my, too much. Okay, so we did movies. This is the fireman. So what we have got in the way of movies is the first part of that. The movie My Individual Myth, you will see, it does exist. The movie of the process work myth never came into being because we only started a week before I left, and it takes a bit longer than that. And then I was going to do a movie of the sort of the essence. One thing that was exciting to me was to come to see how my myth and the polarities in that, and I got feedback from about 5 different diplomats on what they felt different roles were in the Process Work Institute. I then interpreted that, so what I came up with is my understanding of the process work myth. But they have very similar structures. So there's a lovely big word, isomorphic, meaning that the shape of my myth and the shape of Process Work Institute myth, I believe, are very similar. And that explained to me, in part, some of the difficulties I thought. This is purely subjective, purely my point of view, but I thought we had very similar structures. Therefore, in interacting with each other, we kind of polarize into the opposite ends. Edgy. So I think now if someone could help me move this out of the way, we might go on to the movie. How about your way? That's great, thanks. Just before you play it, I also did a CD back in December. I wanted music. Originally, I was talking to my study committee. One of the things I wanted the thesis to be on was somehow using sound, using singing as the thesis. So what I've ended up doing is really incorporating all of my ideas into what I finally did. The idea about family systems therapy and process work, how they're different, how they're similar, that's appendix one. I did a CD as part of the thesis, and I did... song you've heard, Don't Fence Me In, was my favorite song as a child, just for years and years and years. I just love that song. So that's the song of my individual myth. Relationships Australia, the one in blue over there, which is less central in the myth. It's more of a bit of a contrast. But it's where I work, you know, when I go to work every day. And for that, I picked the myth, the song... which I also learned as a kid. It's a churchy song. It's about if I can help somebody as I pass along. And I was surprised. As I'm telling you this, I'm trying to explain how I was learning in the myth. I didn't know what song I would pick for which myth, but as I picked that song for the myth of relationships, I'm calling it a different name, Relationship Counseling Nationwide, I understood something more about my relationship with that place where I work every day. I only work 2 days a week there, but by doing these creative things, I started to understand my relationship a lot better. So it has that. The hardest one was the songs for the Myth of Process Work Institute. I struggled with that. It was really difficult. I've got 3, and I hope today to play you the 3rd one of that, and then the facilitator song, just because this is a MACFA program. I'll try and play that one today. So, okay, let's do the movie and I'll come back to the collages. Yeah, we need the music. The music gets turned on and then we turn the movie on. The thesis switch? Oh, no, do the thesis pictures. Thank you. Okay, so the other night I was going to do some sketches of the different things I did for this experiential thesis project. And I was talking to my partner about it on the phone, and she said she'd be happy to whip up a few pictures. So that's a photo of my head. This is me at my desk. Oh, it's going fast. Okay, me on the airplane. I did heaps of reading on the airplane. I just read constantly. This is me. There were two different places I was recording for the CD. And so that's me practicing a song. And actually, one of the places, both of them, it was very much like that. Just, it's really hard learning new things and learning how to make a CD. There's a lot of technical stuff. So I had to get myself around a lot of different details to do these things. So it's my actual place. So here's me in the car. This is the facilitator song. This is me coming up with the facilitator song, driving home from work, kind of tired, and then just crooning to myself. And in all these things, I'm sort of feeling into what is it I want to do as a facilitator. Oh, this is the family. We got a free trip on a yacht up in the northern part of Australia. And this is a yacht we're on. And while they're doing whatever, I'm sitting doing my collage, which I might as well now show you since it's come up. Because my singing teacher, I had singing lessons to be able to do this whole thing, because I'd never done anything on a CD. And she said, well, you've really got to do drawings, you know, you've got to get into the feeling of it. So I did drawings and singing. Let's start with me. That's Yelena's life myth. It's Yelena's life myth. What did you ask, Errol? Both are Yelena's life myth. Don't ask what the world needs. Rather ask what makes you come alive, then go and do it, because what the world needs is people who've come alive. We're all better than we know. If only we can be taught to realize this, we may never again settle for anything less. So this is the character that climbs on, always climbing on. Got no idea. It was in a magazine. The first one was H. Thurman. Anyway, there's lots of stuff in here, but I don't know if I'm going to tell you all the details. I'm sorry, Di. Yeah, I'll pass it on. There's three. You have to deal with it, I think, in this way. If you pass it like that, that's one. This one is the process work myth, and that one's Relationships Australia. So if you hold this bit, it should work. Okay, the next one here is... Oh, so this is me writing the thesis. I'd set aside 2 weeks, because my life's pretty busy, to write that thesis, and I had to take sick leave to do it, and then I was incredibly disappointed when I actually got sick. So I had to just be really disciplined, and I was starting to get hyperthyroidism, and that was the only 2 weeks I had, so I had to sit there plodding away, and I had way more books than that. I got very, very inspired by the books I was reading, and so if you want to read any of my thesis, I highly recommend chapter 2 and 3. 2 is about myths, and 3, 2 is about the history of myths, and I went way back to 5,000 years BC. And chapter 3 is about different writers. I looked a lot at scientific writers. There's some great organizational development people that base their organizational development work on modern developments in science, and I found that incredibly exciting. Is there any more there, Lee, or is that in? Oh, back on the airplane, reading my books. Who's that guy that speaks with the computer, that brilliant physics? Stephen Hawking. I was reading one of his books flying back one time from the residencies, and I just made such a brilliant connection, I thought, about my life and this project and me and Process Work Institute. And it wasn't quite so brilliant the next day, but I got very inspired reading books. Okay, so that one's done. Let's do the movie. Yelena's movie film. My kids named it that because, I don't know, some of you seen, there's a movie they use that. That's me singing. I sing all the songs on the CD. Oh, I have to get ready because I have to be the storyteller for this. Not very clear, is it? Maybe we'll have to use the other one. I've got two forms of it. Maybe it's better off this one. So this is the first of the three films and the only one that got made, The Meeting of an Individual and an Organizational Myth. It's very fuzzy. I wonder if this one's better. Oh, okay, we'll go with this. Sorry, it's a bit blurry. We did have a clear copy at one point, but this one isn't that. Thank you. I love to sing, but I never thought of making a CD. Okay, now if you fade out the music. Okay, once upon a time, in a Methodist parsonage, in a country town in Armidale, New South Wales, Australia, a little baby sat alone in her cot. She had her teddies for company, but they weren't a whole lot of company. And she sat all alone in her cot, hour after hour after hour, day after day. And to be honest, she got a bit bored with it. She had aspirations of going other places. This is a truth. I don't have a dream for my childhood myth, but I have memories of this, and my mom talks about this. I was left in the cot alone in a room a lot because I cried a lot, which of course made me cry a lot more. So this is, my childhood myth is based on real things from my childhood. So here's the little baby. She had brothers and sisters, two sisters and a big brother. Her daddy was a very busy minister in the church next door, and her mommy was a very frazzled, you know, overworked, four kids under five, busy person. So there's the baby in the cot. At night, the baby would cry and cry, waiting to be picked up by somebody. Apparently, what they would do is actually they got a drug eventually from the doctor, and the drug would make me sleep for 4 hours, then I'd wake up crying, and they'd give me another dose for 4 hours. But my dad tells beautiful stories about carrying me through the halls. So the baby cried and cried alone in the cot, all alone. And for many years in process work, when I did diet, I had to work on this darkness. No toys in the cot. The baby's big brother and sister the next morning had taken out the teddies in the car to play with. And the baby was still waiting to get out and adventure and see the world. So all of this is a little picture of my personal individual myth. Of course, you can't show it all with one thing, but there was a tired mom. She'd been working all day and all night. She had four kids under five. She had a very busy husband that wanted her to cook fancy meals for the visiting people. There was the crying baby in the cot all alone. But guess what? The baby got out and went crawling. And it happened quite regularly, I'm told, and I can kind of remember it, that when I would get out of the house, out of the front doors, down the steps, out the front yard, they had to wire up the front gate, my parents, because I would get out the front gate. So visiting people to see the minister had to step over the front gate because of this baby that was pretty adamant about going exploring. So there was the baby, and she stretched in the sun, joyously expanding in the sun, feeling the vast, radiant universe, because she loved nothing better than to explore. She was happy out exploring, seeing the world, stretching into the universe and feeling connected to everything there was. This baby was an explorer. Happy baby. A happy exploring baby she was. She liked. Okay, across the street, this is all true, that across the street from the parsonage was a fire station, and there's the fireman on duty, ready for fires and emergencies and whatever happens, looking out. There was a church. Is this correctly done, how the church was there? And then comes a little house where the minister and his wife and their four children lived. And there's the fireman waiting. He's on duty to do whatever he needs to do. Lo and behold, as he looks out across the street, Can he believe his eyes? Is it possible? He gazes across the street, and this all happened recurring times. Sometimes it was the fire station, sometimes it was the other direction. There was a car placed down the road, and I would go into this car yard shop. But the fireman looks across at the baby. He can hardly believe his eyes. There must be some mistake. Sure enough, I was the one doing the baby, and it always gets stuck here. The cardboard's a bit tight, and it sort of leaps. So the baby's crawling across the street. Back in the house, the tired mother was very worried. She was getting truly stressed. Where could the baby be? This was getting ridiculous. How many times this month had that baby gone missing? She couldn't take it anymore. A baby belongs in the house, in the cot, in its room. A baby does not belong out exploring. The fireman went over to the baby and picked up the baby. Hello, little baby, said the fireman. You don't belong here. For heaven's sake, you must live near here. I bet there's a worried mum somewhere here, maybe in that house. You better go over and have a look over there. So the fireman went on over to the house to give the baby. And in the house, the mom was getting more and more distressed. Where was her baby? Lost again. Knock, 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 she heard at the front door. The mom went to the front door, and there was a fireman. He was holding her baby. Excuse me, ma'am. Is this your baby? I found her out on the street. I think she may want to come home. And he gave the baby to her mother. The mother was delighted to have a baby back, but frazzled. Oh my, oh my. And she took that baby and she put the baby back into the cot. Because so much work to do, so much to attend to, she couldn't afford to lose her baby daughter or have her be worrying about where she was. It was getting ridiculous. Babies belong in the cot. So there's the baby back in the cot. She crawls around for a little bit. But the truth is, it's not that exciting crawling around the cot. It's kind of limited. So she did crawl around a little bit. And her brothers and sister brought back the teddy bears in the car, which was lucky. But even teddy bears in a car is not all that exciting. It's kind of limited. So she sat there looking out at the world, wishing she could go exploring. Mom was busy doing the 10,000 things. Busy, 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 busy. Of course, this is an inner figure in me, this busy, busy mom. Never enough time, never enough energy to attend to everything needing to be done. Yep, at night, back in her cot, all on her own, the little baby cried and cried. She didn't like being on her own in this enormous room. Dark and lonely. She was being sick of left on her own. And a lot of times when I've done dyads, I've had to work on integrating this darkness. I have like a body sense memory of this huge darkness which mothered me. And I realized at some point I like it. Then the baby fell asleep. The baby fell asleep, sweet sleep, and she began to dream. And she dreamed of going exploring. She dreamed about the joy of going traveling, and once again she was stretching out into the infinitely interesting world where the sun often shone and the stars were not far away from her. She could feel the pleasure of being connected to all things in all directions. And the baby dreamed once more, and you can put the music on again if it would come on. Everybody imagine again. Yeah, you can put it off a minute just for the credits, just quietly. And the credits, all the computer is entirely due to my two sons, Aaron and Liam. And in a minute, the credits will come up about them. So the director was me, producer was Denise, I'm the narrator. Aaron and Liam were just amazing. They love computer stuff. They spent hours and hours putting this all together. Liam was the cameraman. Puppeteers, quite a few of us got involved. And the teddy bears were my stepdaughter, Gabby. So big thank you to my family. Thank you.
I also learned this song in my childhood.
Oh, yeah, here's a nice line. No teddy bears or puppets were harmed during the making of this movie. That's sweet. Okay, so that was the first of what would have been three movies. Copyright, 2007. Yeah, Aaron did that. he got really excited. He said, Mom, come look at this. Come look at this. Yeah, the kids love that. But it's a good combo because I'm pretty scared of computers. So, okay, good. Well, new stuff. I do what I can do, but, you know, it's new stuff. All right, so I don't think we need the projector again. I think it's finished. So I've lost some pages of my notes, so it probably doesn't matter. I think what I'll move on to is the way that I believe my myth is isomorphic with the process work myth. In there you have the baby is one role, the baby that loves exploring, I'm focusing on, the baby that loves to go out to follow itself, the baby that just, you know, it just wants to go somewhere and it just goes there. And then the mom is the other role, which, although the mom's a bit frazzled, she's also the boundary setter. The mom's the one that says the baby belongs in the house, in the cot, that's it, you know, this is the limit. Oh, is that right? She tries. She does try. She certainly is present. She certainly does try. And my mom used to often say when I was growing up, you're too much. So she's the role that, experiences that growing being is too much. So she's sort of saying, get small, or I don't know, perhaps that's not a good translation, but she's saying, I want you back a little bit. And in the Process Work Institute myth, everybody that responded to my request for suggestions about the myth mentioned the previous Jung Institute, what process work moved on from, a very lot of rules, boundaries. A lot of people mentioned the state of Oregon, so I developed the idea that two main roles, the truth is about myth, there's an infinite number of myths about anything depending on who pulls it together. It's like an elephant. You've all heard the elephant story. There's an elephant and there's six people standing around the elephant and they're all blind. And one says, you know, an elephant's like a skinny rope, it's a tail. Someone else says the elephant's like a big giant wall, that's the belly. Someone else says the elephant's like a big, you know, the big ear. Whatever. The point is with myths, it depends on who is drawing it together, how you look at that myth. So when I look at the Process Work Institute myth, I saw the desire to follow oneself. There's a lot of people in process work, including many of ourselves probably, we have a lot of desire to like follow ourselves, follow our dreaming. And then there's the state that says, no, there's rules, you have to do it this way. So I saw a similarity there. So the people that took pictures, can you hold up the pictures? Beautiful. So all of these symbols, I think, yes, all of these symbols I took off the web to be like the powerful one. So in my myth, it's the mother. In the Process Work Institute myth, it's the state, the one that says it must be done this way. Individuals move between these different things. A teacher might be saying it must be done this way, but this is like the role or the energy that says, I am the lawmaker, this is how it will be. The sheriff. Yeah. Oh, you want to have a question or just, but all of them, in my mind, all of these are pictures about that boundary maker. And if I can put my hand on it, and I can, this is the other role of the freedom explorer, the person exploring freely. So in my myth, this is the baby, and that's the mother. In the Process Work Institute myth, it's possible to say that this is any person within that organization wanting to follow themselves, and then that's either the state or the rulemaker. So I got very excited by this idea of it being isomorphic or a similar pattern. And then one time I was working on it, and if I went more deeply into each of these roles, for this one, I got like fire or lightning going somewhere. And for that one, I got a rock. So this is a picture at a deeper sentient level of, there's the rock of like the boundary maker, the one that says, this is the form you must do it in. This is the form I'm in. And behind it, you can see the sun, which is just pure fire. And for me, that's a meaningful, like sentient level, deeper level symbol of the energies that I'm playing with, and I believe also the Process Work Institute's playing with. And we're both dealing with similar polarities. So that's the picture for that. I'm going to switch to a different set of notes. I have like another 20 minutes, right? Okay, thanks. Little bits of stuff everywhere. What did you say? It's too big. I did a session with Arnie not so long ago, and it was really delightful because I was telling him about all my woes and all my troubles and about the lightning strike that hit the tree, tall tree out the front of our house, and it went into the whole house and almost all our electrical things were like devastated. Anyway, so I was sort of complaining and telling about that, and Arnie said, "Oh my God, you're the lightning." So here I am. And you know, whenever a therapist says something, I can myself be a bit suspicious. I can think, oh yeah, they're just saying that because this and that. This is a small digression, okay? I'm going slightly off the topic, but it connects for me. Years ago, I went to a seminar out at Yahats, and at that time I was into my alter ego was a gay man, Alan Rogers. And I dressed up as Alan Rogers, and I had a, Maury, you might remember Maury Shaw, some of you, he'd lent me his leather jacket, and it was pretty cool, and I had a cap on, and I went to the seminar completely in my gay male alter ego form, and most people did not recognize me. I remember Amici was like checking me out, like, who the hell is that? And Amy was shaking my hand. I was from Melbourne. Alan Rogers from Melbourne. How do you do? But Arnie recognized me instantly. He said, "You're electric." He recognized something in my eyes. So then when he more recently said this thing about the lightning, I thought, oh, well, it must be something in there. So I myself have quite a big edge to that because I've got my mum in me sort of always saying, "You're too much." But partly I think I need to relax one day and just accept, yeah, I'm high voltage. Thank you, that's excellent. Yeah, I'm high voltage, and it's sometimes a little difficult being high voltage. But there I am. Okay. Oh, Arnie did make one point, which does relate nicely to the myth. He said you need a very big mother function to love high voltage. And that's why I think I caught quite an important part of my myth in that animation, because I've picked out the exploring baby who's high voltage, you know, it loves to get out there. Yeah? No, go for it.
No, because what I love about this is the way you've
involved your whole family. No one here maybe didn't acknowledge the family input that we had, but for you it's a whole family project, which is a very mothering thing to do.
Almost like I was mothered by the whole family?
Well, no. Well, whatever.
Or the other way around, any direction, right. I mean, I'm a mother, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I was very grateful to them because I was just freaking out. And it only took up, I think, 10 minutes. But from the time I had that animation video, I thought, okay, I'm going to survive this. You know, I can hang some stuff around that. So, yeah, it made a big difference. So I've told you about the isomorphic idea, the explorer that had like a flame essence, the boundary. Yeah, I didn't go so deeply into that, but for me it was quite exciting to find that sentient level of just the rock, because I love rocks, and the flame or the lightning, because I love all of those things in the nature. So once I understood it in more nature type language, then nothing's bad. So that was really helpful for me. Okay, I think that's that one. These are the rest of my notes. It's just flick stuff in the thesis. There's a nice quote I begin my whole project with, and you guys have to guess who wrote it, okay? In myths, one finds that the magic or talisman that can cure the misfortune of the queen or her country always proves to be something very special. Whatever it is, the thing that can drive away the evil is always unique and hard to find. One is seeking something that is impossible to find or about which nothing is known. There's only one thing that seems to work, and that is to turn directly toward the approaching darkness without prejudice and totally naively, and to try to find out what its secret aim is and what it wants from you. Who wrote that quote? No? Jung. Who said Jung? Yeah, Jung. So that's really what my project, that's what my project was about, was turning directly into this thing that for me felt very dark and difficult. And I had to deal with a lot of criticism from inner critics that wanted me to do something more kind of tidy and out there. But I'm glad I did it, because I feel differently for having gone through the process. I had an idea based on yesterday to give everybody quotes and cards. I got two done, and I actually never got around to it, so you're all saved from doing quotes. Okay, the other writer, I liked a lot of writers. One of the things I loved best about doing this project was the reading it inspired me to do. And Max had told us back after some class about Claude Levi-Strauss, The Raw and the Cooked, Introduction to a Science of Mythology. It's pretty tedious going, most of the book. It's very detailed. This guy was taking enormous detail about myths all over the world. But in the introduction, it was utterly inspiring, because I just felt he was like a fellow kin of me. He was saying, my project, in the end I made it Appendix 2 because I just loved it so much. I couldn't fit the whole thing in the thesis, but it was gorgeous. My project cannot be contained within precise territorial limits or within the framework of any one system of classification. However it is approached, it spreads out like a nebula. Confident that reality will be its guide, loose threads join up with one another, and something resembling order is to be seen emerging from chaos. Apart from the fact that the science of myths is still in its infancy, we can already be certain that the ultimate state will never be attained, since the fact still remains that there does not exist any community whose mythology can be known in their entirety, because mythology is always dealing with a shifting reality. So, yeah, I just was inspired by so many people. How much time should I leave for questions? You want to hear the songs? Are we good to have questions too? All right, let me just flip through if there's anything like essential here. Yeah, on chapter 2 I do a lot about Campbell and Jung. Collins and Porus I'd studied at length in my thesis, which is why I kept guessing that yesterday. Okay, I think this can all be forgotten about. Walt Whitman, I quoted, said, "Do I contradict myself? Very well then, I contradict myself. I am large, I contain multitudes." And I thought that's who I was in writing the paper. Because sometimes in writing the paper, you know, I'm occupying the other side and guessing into what the information is there, and it moves around a bit. So I am large, I contain multitudes. Okay, maybe we should do just two of the songs. We could do number 4. Okay, this is for Relationships Australia. It's very churchy. But I used to love it as a kid, nevertheless.
As I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody path to walk along, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can bring
my spirit, you could almost skip to track 8.
To wherever I'm sought, if I can bring that beauty to a world.
That's very nicely done, Lee. And beautifully done. So this track 8 is the third. Process Work Institute is the only one that I did 3 songs for the myth, because I just couldn't get there without these 3. So the first one's kind of a little more tormented. It's called The Vortex, and we're in a vortex together. Yeah, I wrote. These 3 I wrote myself because they didn't exist. This is the third one, Let's Dance. It's like the culmination of working it out. They're both my voices. It's my voice on top of my voice. The music kind of got off the web and fiddled around. The song was written first, and then we put that with them. It was written backwards in that the words came first. Actually really hard sitting up here just listening to them. Oh, I don't know how loud or soft this is, or like I haven't ever tried it. It's not that necessary. I don't even know the tune anymore. Or just play it then. But better play the facilitator song, better than me having to do it on the spot. Which track? Sorry, 10. Now, the facility song is very different. It's got the least tune. I was literally just in my car. Okay. It's hard today. I'm going to sit on the edges while it's on, though. I can't just sit up there at the front. It's too much to sit up there.
I am. She who moves among them all.
It's the role of the facilitator.
She who feels beyond each sight. I hear each voice and every tone. I see each side, inside, outside, upside, downside. I feel each and every heartbeat. I make the space for each to hear the other. I hold the place where each can know the other. I make the space. I hold the place. I welcome all into this space. I hold this place.
Thank you. Thank you. So, what are your questions? What questions do you have? They were all different. Like the first one, I went on the web. I had to learn everything. I knew nothing about it. But you can go on Google and find sites to download the backup music for almost any song that ever existed. So the well-known one about give me land, lots of land, I just chose out of the web which one I liked, and you pay a bit of money and you get it off there. The three for the Process Work Institute, I spent months getting the words for those three, and then that was hard enough, and then I had to work out what music to put to it because I really had a poem. So I had a singing teacher, and we sort of negotiated and talked about it, and she had some software on her computer, but it was all, those were difficult because they had to create it. So we just fiddled around getting a bit from there, and patchworking it together. But the facilitator song, that music, remember me in the car? I just was driving home and thinking about it, and that just came out of me. Raya.
So I'm wondering, you said, you know, this project was a personal journey, really, to get to another place around an experience or series of experiences. Mm. So, and then there's your myth, the process work myth, which you said had similar roles. How is that? How have you, what has changed for you, or what in terms of your myth and
well,
what do you think it has moved? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, moved or transformed or not, or the journey, that kind of thing.
Okay. So there's two things that come to mind. I felt myself as I would get deeply into, or like there's a section where I write my own side, and I hadn't had a chance. I hadn't realized, I hadn't really felt what my own side was. So as I went deeply into that and wrote about my experience, something in me freed up. I started to feel, okay, I've said it. It was like I was driven to say it and driven to say, this exists, this role exists. But once I myself had acknowledged, right, I get that deeply, it was partially done. But I moved in and out a lot. That Walt Whitman quote, I used that because my experience was in terms of like one-sidedness, seeing the other side, sentiently understanding it all, I was in all different spots. But one thing that confirms for me that something's shifted, whether I focus it on me or the universe, whatever, two people that were very important in past interactions, one has already had a really nice talk with me, which I've been looking for 7 years, to talk about some things, and I kept getting what felt like a lack of willingness to relate at all or tell me any information about why decisions were made. And one person's going to talk with me, and we've made a time. So I start to feel now like the whole thesis is like,
it changed the field of the whole experience.
I myself wouldn't feel confident to claim I changed the field or the field changed, but in either case, I'm sure I feel easier in relating to these people because I've sort of done a lot. So whatever now.
You don't have to say that, but I'm, as an onlooker, I'm okay. Having a, you know,
say that.
Hypothesis.
Lightning bolts tend to do that.
Oh, Jennifer said lightning bolts tend to do that.
And Susan at the back there.
I'd like to ask you, Yelena, right now in delivering your presentation, what is, are you experiencing that may be surprising to you?
It's not too bad. And I've got a lot of friends here. It's really nice to have all the support. I appreciate that. It's very special. I feel honored that a lot of people have come.
I have a comment. I've been with the same peer group with Yelena, and throughout the program, she helped me a lot. And this word lightning really makes sense to me. That the good thing about the lightning is that sometimes it can really pierce deep into the ground, so that even somebody who is like hibernating deep inside can like, wait a minute, what was that? And wake up. And I had a couple of wake up calls like that from Yelena, and so I'm really grateful that she was lightning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's one thing I only said is lightning needs grounding. It's always looking to ground, so it somehow fits.
I'm wondering, it might be too early to know, but maybe it's in your paper. I'm interested to know, in the beginning you said that you were really interested to see how your own journey could inform how you might work with other people in organisations, and whether you've started to develop some processes around how you would do that.
I'm not sure if this is the level you're asking, but what comes to mind is that I've gotten quite a good reputation with the CEO of our state RA and the top management. And just last week, they got a request for some consultant to come in and help with the business, an advertising business in the Rocks District of Sydney, and I'm the first person they thought of. So, and now that doesn't sound so connected, but to me it feels connected. I've done my inner work, and the world is saying, okay, we're ready for you. And I feel ready. I feel one thing I have thought about, the decision not to allow me to complete the diploma, which would be central to be in the process work community. So I've been told, no, you're not going to be central in the process work community. This is my own subjective understanding, is that my energy is to go out into the world. And I feel ready. Like, there's a bunch of things I've already done. I've been asked to do several trainings, weekend seminars up in Bellingen. I think my answer, Penny, is that it's parallel. I couldn't do good jobs with groups and people if I wasn't doing the inner work I needed to do. But because I am, it feels like there's a natural flow that I'm being asked to do different consultancy and seminars and things. And because I'm doing my inner work, it makes me feel sort of confident. Okay, I can help you guys because I went through difficult stuff, so I know how you do that. But it's not like a process like that I'd write down. It's more an internal thing. I have the confidence I can help guide them, and I've got quite a few high executives that come to me for business coaching. It's amazing how easy it is. I made that comment to someone and she was like amazed. But it's just one person, it's not a family, and they usually don't have much, top executives usually don't have the capacity to speak to people. They can't talk to their board because the board wants them to do the job. They can't talk to their staff. So if I'm in a room with this person, all I have to do is be a little bit open, listen to them. It's really, really easy work, and I think that's because I've done my work. And so, you know, one guy I'm thinking of, he's the CEO of a big division, it's a company related to doctors, and I don't, like, it fits. Like, he loves to come and see me, but the reason he loves to come and see me is because I'm open to whatever he brings, because I've been open to whatever my psyche drove me to. Like, there was a lot of reasons not to do this study, but I had to do it. So I'm happy to support him to do what he has to do. Is that the kind of answer?
Yeah, great. Right, because you're the fireman, too. You keep touching the fireman picture, I pick it up. Oh. And your myths,
right, picking up and carrying the baby. Yeah, the fireman was the last one I ever focused on because I'd worked on this heaps of times.
Too.
Yeah, it took me a long time to even notice the fireman, so I think I still have some integrating to do there with that bit. Thank you, you're right.
You're picking it up now when you're talking about your abilities.
Right, to work
so
with
easy.
These different people. Yeah. Yeah, it was helpful when a friend of mine, I was telling her that this business coaching works really easy. It was helpful to see her shock. Because I just thought, when you work with couples that are really fighting and they're really hating each other, that can be quite hard. Or if you work with families, there's a lot of people in the room. I never take any notes in that case. You know, you're just like, okay, this, but one person is easy. But to see her shock woke me up that maybe that's a specialty of mine, is some kind of business coaching with individuals.
The firewoman.
I'm looking actually for a business name, so maybe... I don't know about the firewoman, but put it on the list. Firewoman, you think that would sell? Fire tender? Fire tender. Probably usually they want you to put out fires. Yeah, maybe. Lightning Limited. That's got some. Lightning Unlimited. A lot of companies might get a bit nervous around Lightning Unlimited, though. Maybe I can provide Lightning Unlimited and Fire Putting Out.
So the end of your presentation, we're all brainstorming with you. You know how to get support.
Well, I feel like it's time to go out more into business, and it's already happening anyhow a bit, so it's just a matter of opening up to the opportunities. Any other questions?
I have a comment.
Yeah.
I just want to say, we do have to finish, but I just want to say how I feel really inspired and I feel educated about process work. I feel like I've learned some really basic things about some of the key concepts in process work in a new way from you. And I think for me, especially the thing about the power of really taking your own side, I think that is a core concept, but it gets forgotten sometimes. I forget it. And to see the incredible creativity and resolution and movement and then sort of like world potential that comes out of that, it's been wonderful.
Thank you, because that's a big part of my work, is to bring process work into the lives of people that don't know it at all. So thank you.
Thank you for all the time and energy you put into this.
I've got a what?